What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We love to introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community, and I always find it to be a treat and a treasure. Per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry, Climax. Welcome, Gray Haas.
Jesus is the Jesus is the risen for the season. I was trying to do a Riz thing, but yeah. Hey, Hallie, how are you?
Oh, blessed. How are you, Gray? I'm so excited to see you. I want to hear all about what's happening in your life that God is doing and your relationships, your social life, your ministry, your kids who come to Climax.
Well, I'm not going to talk about any of that, Hallie. Actually, I'm just kind of interested in this thing that just a lot of people have been talking about, this Trump Bible. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. I saw that today.
Yeah. He made a video saying that, you know, he's got this branded kind of
the
Patriots
Bible,
I guess. It's got an American flag on it. It's the King James Version. So
yeah, all in the same leather-bound book. I think you can purchase online for $60.
Yeah.
There's also the Constitution is added in there, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Pledge of Allegiance.
And I think the Boy Scout law.
Oh, what's that?
Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and spongy.
Spongy?
Spongy. Well, that's what we say in Australia. Anyway, yeah, Hallie, it's, you know, it concerned me because I just didn't know, or if you bought the Bible, who's that money going to? You know, it kind of seems like you're literally not separating church and state.
Oh, I didn't even think about it like that.
By putting those two things in there.
It probably goes to the RNC and to his legal bills, right?
Right, maybe. And the thing is, I don't really like the separation of church and state. I can't really vote, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't like it because I want more church everywhere. Like he said in his speech, he wants more God and more God content. And we need to fight for that.
Well, I kind of do like having the separation of church and state stuff because, you know, working for the church, we get to use our tax-free, you know, tax-deductible card where we don't have to pay tax on anything we purchase. Like if we go have lunch at Macaroni Grill, you know, during a work day and we have a work meeting at the Mac Grill, then, you know, when we check out with the server, we don't have to pay taxes on that meal, and we give her the tax deductible card. And I like that. I buy something at Michael's for some creative programming. I use the discount.
And I don't think anybody abuses that, which is good.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know about this whole Trump Bible thing. I think I'm going to have to ask Steve.
Well, I wondered because, you know, it says in 1 Timothy that nothing can be added or taken away from the Bible.
Right.
And so I got worried. But it's like, well, it's not adding the Constitution to the Bible. It's showing how I do believe that God does prefer the United States. I think, you know, he loves the whole planet. He loves the whole cosmos. But I think there's something, I think we're kind of sparkly to him. I think we're having our moment, so to speak, with the God, the creator of the universe. And he really is enamored with us. And we put him on our dollar bills. We, you know, we worship him. We really, the liberals are obviously trying to steal it all away from us. But I think this is Trump deliberately trying to say, hey, Christians, for just $60, you can show me that you have my back because, you know, I'm scratching your back.
He has God's back, and God needs somebody to have his back right now.
Exactly.
I do think it's problematic, though, because I think there was a misprint, and I think the Boy Scout law actually did get inserted in between Matthew and Mac. So that might be a problem. So anyway, what's going on in your life, Hallie?
Well, I just did one of those book exchanges with my book club. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, sorry, this isn't necessarily a Christ-focused story, but, you know, I'm always trying to witness. There are a few unsaved gals in the club. And sometimes we do an exchange thing. It's one of those online things. Have you ever gotten an email that says, you have to buy a book, put it in the mail to one person. They're going to do a book, put it in the mail. And then, you know, you end up with, all you have to do is buy one book for a friend and pass it on. And then you end up with 20 books.
Right. I don't understand how that works, but it seems fun.
It's cool. So we did that, and I picked one that now I'm kind of self-conscious about because when my 20 books started arriving, it seemed to be a pattern I was noticing in what was arriving in that it was all the exact same book, and I ended up with 20 copies of the same gosh darn book, and then now I'm feeling like I might have made a mistake in what I put into the
pool. Oh, what did you put into the mail?
Well, I put in Freeze My Margarita, which was my favorite thing my book club read last year. I would not have picked that myself, but it wasn't my turn. That's something that Jeannie Nikovich did, and I enjoyed it. Even though I didn't like that it was an alcohol-based title, a recreational, you know, abuse of alcohol type of thing with margaritas and whatnot, it was a fun beach read.
Okay.
And what were
the books that you were getting in the mail? It was all the same book?
I got 20 copies of the exact same book. It's called The Deborah Mantle, A Woman's Call to Rise and Slay the Giants of Her Generation.
Oh, what a long title. It's
kind of Slay.
Right. I mean, seems a bit boring. So you got 20 of the same book.
Yeah, The Deborah Mantle, A Woman's Call to Rise and Slay the Giants of Her Generation.
So what are you going to do with all of them?
I don't know. I sometimes have a garage sale if I can get my act together in the early summer, and maybe I could make something on them. Amish do shop a lot at garage sales.
Do the Amish want that book?
I don't know. I mean, it's not electric.
Good point. Well, I mean, 20 copies of the same book.
Well, it was actually 19 copies of The Deborah Mantle, A Woman's Call to Rise and Slay. And then there was one other, like, odd one out, which is probably what mine looks like in somebody else's hands.
Oh, what was that one?
The odd one out that wasn't The Deborah Mantle, A Woman's Call to Rise and Slay the Giants of Her Generation?
Yeah.
It was Mein Kampf, and I couldn't figure out who would put that into a book exchange and what it means.
Yeah.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is Whoa. Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Like Jesus said, go forth and multiply. Our guest today is going to get you knocked up. It's my pleasure to introduce Reagan Dicklin. How you doing today, Reagan?
I'm doing great. Thank y'all so much for having me. Praise.
Oh, thanks for being here. It's very important to have you here because you are a very, very crucial member of our congregation.
Thank you for saying that. There's been times in my life when I did not feel that way. So thank you so much for saying that.
Oh, really? Oh, well, your testimony this weekend was just amazing. You got up in front of the entire church and basically took us on a fertility journey that ended up in a place, I guess I'll call it, you got on the fertility train and it ended up in the desert, didn't it? And how you took that and just spun gold. I'm using a few different metaphors, but yeah, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. And God, it was fun to testify last week or to give my testimony. It was, God, it was crazy to be up there. Did y'all notice? I noticed after that my fly was down the entire time.
I did see that. I thought it humanized you. Yeah, it was on the big IMEG screen, so it was sort of hard to miss, but... You know, I mean, that way you don't get too big for your britches, right?
I was embarrassed for 1 second, and then I thought, this is Jesus.
It really is.
Jesus actually might have been the one that pulled my fly down. You know, because I'm normally pretty careful about that.
He keeps you humble.
He does. Yeah. He does.
And you know what's going to have to happen to any gal who wants to have a baby is she's going to have to zip it down and open them up and let a doctor in there and more. So
and that can be scary.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I don't want to ask, but is that how they get in there at the doctor's office?
I think that's the most Christian way. You'll go to a lot of doctor's offices and they'll say completely disrobe and put on this little paper robe that they have. But what I encourage young women to do is just say, is there any way we can go through my fly? Or if you might have a button fly, if you're maybe a little bit more fashionable, something like that. And they might give you a little pushback, but if you stay strong, oftentimes they will go ahead and try to work that way.
Okay.
I think it's just as effective and it's certainly more modest.
Well, anyway.
Modest is hottest. But Gray, I just want to make sure that because Gray is unmarried, so there's certain things he just doesn't have experience in yet in terms of the female body. Were you asking, does the actual female form down there need to be unzipped or unbuttoned by the doctor before maybe putting in a speculum or something?
Oh, no, I wasn't asking about that and I don't need any follow-up. But what I was asking about is just, you know, your amazing story of trying and trying and trying to get pregnant. And then eventually you got that answer, which was no.
Hollow womb is what I was officially diagnosed with after years.
Oh, what was it called?
Hollow womb. And that is a scientific term. Yeah. Actually, they printed out pictures, sort of the ultrasound. There are these, you know how there's tumbleweed, speaking of desert, they're tumbleweeds sort of in a desert. You might have. In my womb, it's, of course, they're not tumbleweeds, but they look a lot like it. And they have a different name, of course, but they're actually those types of, they're multicellular kind of chunks, but they look exactly like tumbleweeds and they're going all around my womb, just sort of blowing.
Wow. Is this the image here? Is this the ultrasound?
Yes. I bring my visual aids along. Yeah. Go ahead and check that.
Oh, that's cool.
As you guys know, I talked about it on Sunday, but when I first found out that I couldn't have children after years of trying multiple times a day with my husband, multiple times a day, we were trying because we knew we had to bring more children to the flock. But when I first found out, I'm good now. I'm obviously totally fine with it now. Yeah. But when I first found out, I was a mess.
Really?
I was angry. I'll say that. And I know I was angry and man, I was having to do 5 to 7 boxing class, Rumble boxing classes a day, just to get some of my angst and anger out on the bag. And I'm now just down to two or three, which feels good. And but yeah, it was a hard time. I immediately filed for divorce. I said I cannot be in a marriage. There's no point.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about it like that. Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, that part of your testimony when you said and this is so common. I think it's never happened to me, but that you were angry at God. You were saying, why can't you give me a baby? And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the word? Barter? But you start to
bargain with
God. Yeah. You can even give me half a baby. I'll figure it out. I mean, my prayers were, they were desperate prayers.
And so were you battering with God? So you were saying, I'll give you this if you give me half a baby? Okay.
So it was bartering. That was the word I was searching for. It turns out I used the right word. Yeah. I was trying to think what God would like. So I was like, frankincense, myrrh, I'm on the dark web. I'm trying to get I'm trying to remember what God had liked in his earthly form, carpentry materials. You know, obviously I was a desperate woman. I was crazed. And thank God those days are long behind me now. It's been a month. So those are long, long behind me since I found out.
Oh,
it was
good.
Just a month ago. You seem so much better now.
Yeah, you've done so much healing.
God, bless you for saying that.
Tell us a little bit about this new program that you have just launched, because that really was part of your message is just because you can't have a baby and couldn't figure out anything to barter for a baby, you are going to help other women try to get pregnant. Is that right?
Women and men. I think I just started to think, well, what is it that makes a baby? Mm. And I thought, oh, I know what makes a baby, you know, having time on your hands. So what I'll do is and I know you guys heard this last Sunday, but I'll go around to local parks and I'll sort of gather up sort of as like a Pied Piper type might get all the kids to come to me. Come on over here. We'll play Red Rover, whatever. And I'll kind of bring them all over me. And then I'll kind of wink at the parents like, you know, I'll give them a little. And most of them, they know what I mean. I'm giving you your time to create more, you know, more kids.
Oh, at the park. Do they take you up on that at the park?
You know, it's hard to say. But I do know that I'm giving them their time, and that's when they have to, you know, and that's where they come in.
Okay, because I'm always a bit worried when I'm at the pack. I did see a couple climb into that tube slide, and I was thinking, they're just, you know, a couple of perverts getting busy in there. But what you're saying is those could have actually been parents that you let off the hook for a little bit to go make another baby.
Exactly. So that was probably a godly union that you maybe thought, as opposed to a couple of perverts.
Yeah.
You've sort of volunteered yourself as a fertility coach in the community, but I wonder if we could get you on staff at church, you know, because I mean, we've got over 600 employees. I know there's got to be other gals struggling with it. And I just want to say, I'm so sorry for the pain that you've gone through with your infertility, because it has to be extremely confusing, you know, because God told us, you know, to make more Christians essentially. And then he gave us these bodies, you know, we have these, you know, rear ends in the back of us that are calling to the male psyche all the time about like, jump on. And, you know, and you did it right. You know, you brought your buns into a godly marriage and you procreated multiple times a day with your husband. You followed all God's rules. You even thought to yourself, what does God want? What does he want? I'm sure he must have liked hummus when he had a human body.
That's a good one. I did not think of hummus. That is a good one. Hummus.
But how would you get it to
maybe
him?
That would have changed things.
I mean, well, I know really all we know that he really likes is to hear about how great he is and how much, how worthy he is. You know, I guess if a human ever wanted to hear those things, you'd be like, gosh, you're pretty insecure. Go get a grip. But, you know, God really eats it up. And so, you know, maybe, you know, more praise and worship. I don't know. But I just want to acknowledge your pain. And I want to give you a word basket of encouragement that your pain can be someone else's pleasure with their procreating with their husband and then with producing a new Christian that they can bring into the world and into the church. And I think God has ordained you, Reagan. I really do.
I'm so glad you just used my first name there. I did want to apologize for my full name, which is Reagan Dicklin. And I'm sorry to even say it on the airways. I'm in the process of changing my name. I'm just having a time.
Oh, really?
I'm having a time changing it. Just getting the paperwork together has been difficult, but I'm trying to change it, and I hope to get it changed.
Oh, yeah. It's surprising that they would even let there be the name Dick Land, right? Because you
couldn't get pregnant with that name.
Right.
But
wow.
I think
they won't let you have a vanity license plates that say dirty things. Why would they let you have a last name? You know, the postman has to look at that when he's delivering your mail, and it's probably causing people to stumble in the flesh and think of a land full of all these, male genitals. It's very odd, that name.
I hate that I could have anything to do with that kind of, image and imagining, and imagining at all. I think imagining is probably bad in general.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
You're playing creator there.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you know what? God already did that, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We already have a creator.
So are you going back to your married name? Because I did see on the Jumbotron, how do you pronounce that? Vagalis?
Now, tell me your guess one more time. I'm sorry.
Vagalis?
Vagalis?
It actually is Vaginus, and which I didn't even realize until it was on that big screen and I sort of saw it with fresh eyes. Well, shoot, that one's not good. That one's not very good either. So I am not going to go back to that name. And I was thinking, could I do something like Madonna does, just one name, Reagan, but I don't know if I don't know. I think I'm going to just get something normal and good, something like Smith.
You could do that. You could put together your maiden name and your married name and make a new name, which I hear people do probably. That might be a liberal idea, but you could maybe be like Vagland or something. Vagland. Put them together.
Yeah, Vagland or Dickinus. Or Dickus. Yeah, we're still we get into some trouble there.
So I guess I just really wanted to ask you, Reagan. So you're going around, you're giving people more time. Yeah. Have you been successful in getting some more, what I would say, you've gone from no creation to procreation. Mm. Have you been successful in finding some couples to have a child?
One thing I think I've done that maybe had some effect is I'll go into the CVS, I'll go into the Walgreens, and I'll buy up, and I'm sorry again to use another sort of dirty phrase on the airwaves here, I will buy up all the birth control in there. Awesome. And they'll see me at the counter and they'll say, someone's having a crazy weekend someone's hungry for birth control. They'll make their little comments and I'll laugh, but I'll know what I'm really up to. And I'm doing the Lord's work.
You're like pets or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
I bet these immoral gals take extra birth control because I think it makes your chest bigger. So maybe they're, gorging themselves on them to get their glands to be more overwhelming.
They're pecs. Yeah. They're pecs.
I mean,
yeah.
That sounds similar. This is kind of a bit of family lore that I don't love to get into, but I had an Uncle Nevis that for years, I think he had upwards of 17, 18, 19 children with different ladies. Wow. And he would do a funny thing where he would always, he would poke holes in the, he called them rubbers. I'm not really sure what those are, but And so, I don't want to give you any ideas
because
at least in his life, it ruined his life and everybody's around.
Well, did
him.
It?
None of those offspring were children. All right. I mean, none of those offspring were Christians,
I was going to say, now what were they? Because my mind was going crazy imagining what those offspring could be. Demons,
I know.
I
and
thought.
Actually, he kind of, we always kind of thought he might be Pat Lizard or something because he was a very strange guy. But so that's awesome. You have been able to buy up some of these items and just sort of drive up the birth rate around here is what you said.
Cool.
What I assume is driving it up, or I hope, and it's self-funded right now, but I did call for donations at church on Sunday and I don't know. I think I love your idea of maybe getting on staff. I mean, that would be amazing to be able to put my ministry to work. That would be amazing. Yeah. Another thing. Oh my, I'm so excited about. I think another thing to really get people going on making more Christians is we know that the sinful among us, and I don't know if y'all know this, so I hate to bring this knowledge in, but they have something that they call porn, and I don't want to get too into it, but I'm kind of talking with a production company right now, and we're trying to get some Christian porn going. We call it Corn.
Oh,
and I love the names. I don't know about y'all, but I love corn on the cob, in a bucket. I'll take it. Anyway, so it's going to be Christian porn, Corn, and it's just scenes that will get those godly among us kind of in the baby making mood. So what kind of gets y'all in the baby making mood? It's anything. It's a scene of somebody witnessing to someone and then it working. You know, it's like a lot of that.
That's hardcore.
And you guys can probably imagine like what these scenes are that just get you so excited to be a Christian and to make more Christians. Yes.
Oh, whoa. I could watch someone eat a big plate of fettuccine Alfredo. That would get me there.
Well, Hallie,
what does that have to do
with being Christian?
Well, maybe that's kind of soft corn, you know, but
it's definitely soft corn because it doesn't have anything to, I think what she's saying, Reagan, is saying she wants to do Christian stuff. So to get Christians in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think fettuccine Alfredo is one of the most Christian pastas there is because it's cream based. It's cream based. It's and that feels to me milk, you know, milk and honey. We have these things in the Bible.
Yep.
So I'm sort of spitballing here, but you said fettuccine Alfredo and I thought praise. I don't know why, but I thought praise right away.
Yeah.
And was milk and honey anything? Did you try to battle with that?
You guys are coming up with so many good ideas and I'm just thinking, I wish I could go back in time. I know I can't, but could I have been successful, you know, in my barter with God, had I thought of hummus or milk and honey? Oh, it was all right there.
Well, I think corn is good and that all these godly marriages can be having corny sex. And I do think, I love that you say fettuccine Alfredo is a godly dish because you know what else? It's white. Just like the slate gets wiped clean and white when, you know, we ask for forgiveness and it's all covered in the blood. And you would think when something gets covered in the blood, it would be stained a crimson, scarlet color, but nope, it's white. Just like fettuccine Alfredo. And white foods are my favorite foods, you know, an English muffin, a fettuccine Alfredo, a donut, you know, a sourdough bread, a breadstick, you know, things like that.
These seem like Christian foods. They do. They don't. They seem. They also seem American, which is, to me, Christian. You know, those two things go hand in hand.
Well, maybe some of the corn you're producing, digital corn and all that. Maybe some of it could be, you know, like an image of a woman fully dressed in like big baggy, you know, Chico's kind of outfits. Maybe working in the kitchen or you know, vacuuming or something, and that's going to get a godly man really excited. You know,
Would you be able to be on the creative staff? I mean, that is a great corn. I just got to say, I love your choice of fashion because I'm a Chico's Gal rewards member.
You're a rewards member. I am too. And I never leave without a chunky third piece, you know, a statement necklace or whatnot to go over my burlap calf cane.
I know, and I haven't allowed you to wear those recently in here because it always clangs on the mic. Mm-hmm. It just drives me crazy. It's just like, it's like teeth on the floor. You know, I think.
Have you ever had your teeth fall on the floor? I've never heard that expression. Teeth on the floor.
I'm from Australia. That's just, you know, it sounds like teeth on a floor.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Do people really lose teeth on the floor a lot?
Well, haven't you ever been in a restaurant or something where someone opens their mouth and the teeth fall on the floor?
Well, I've never been to Australia.
Oh,
is
really?
Is that how it goes?
I think it happens here too, doesn't it?
God, I don't know. I mean, I love going to restaurants, but I'm not sure that maybe they don't have I know healthcare in America is as good as it gets. So maybe in Australia, their dental isn't so good if people are constantly.
Well, you know, in Australia, we're really encouraged to just take your teeth out as soon as the big ones grow in and replace them with ones that, you know, you can swap in and out.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's where the phrase
is. You guys are like sharks in that way. Yeah. Australians are like sharks. They're constantly losing teeth.
A lot of sharks there. But, you know, something that I thought with this whole corn idea, and, you know, I'm very adamantly against any kind of pornography, but this Christian idea of corn is just so interesting to me that you could just have people go out, shoot some with their own cell phones, you know, when they're in a Christian environment and post those things. And the only thing I worry about is that, you know, the government, they don't like when Christian, we are the most oppressed people group in this country, that they're going to come through and say, we're not going to allow this barely legal amateur corn.
And maybe, you know, if you want to appeal to, if you want to make separate corn for ladies and different corn for men, might I suggest, because ladies are food motivated, maybe the women's corn is called cream corn.
Oh, I love that.
Because we like a cream-based dish.
Yes, we do. And we like cream in our coffee.
Yes.
And we like ice cream. Sorry, I'm...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So much cream.
Yeah. We cream. That's us.
And I mean, there you go. Women cream.
There it is. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask Reagan, in your experience, when it comes to all this fertility stuff, helping people, Christians, have more babies, isn't it mostly the lady's fault when it comes to this stuff? Because it just seems to me like every time I hear about a couple not able to have kids, I'm going, the guy probably works. You know, there's not a lot that can go wrong there as far as I know. Is that your experience?
Well, I just heard you say woman's fault, and I immediately started to nod my head. Because even if I didn't hear the end of that sentence, it doesn't matter. You know, we know from Eve.
From Eve on.
It rolls off the tongue because it's so there's so much truth there. But yeah, I don't profess to know a tremendous about science. I'm not a big believer in science.
Okay.
You know, in this house, we don't believe in science as a yard sign that I have.
Okay.
But I do know that women's bodies are complicated. Mm-hmm. And by complicated, I do mean evil. Mm-hmm. And men's bodies are simple. Mm-hmm. And by simple, maybe I do mean good. Mm-hmm. So it's probably most likely going to be almost every time, of course, woman's fault. It was in my case. And I'm not beating myself up about it.
You shouldn't, because like it's basically you can't beat yourself up about your nature, can you, Hallie? It's just who you are. And the fact that, and this is something I might ask God if I ever have any questions for him when I'm there, is just like, how did the lady body get so complicated from a rib? It just kind of like was a more complicated, you'd think that it was like 2.0 would be a little simpler, almost like the new iPhone or something.
Oh God, a new iPhone.
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered that. And I guess, you know, then I go back to that. Well, the first version of most things is the best one.
Wow.
The first idea is the best idea is what I always say in staff meetings.
Yes.
And maybe first idea was the best idea. And then the lady was, you know, not saying God makes mistakes, but in the regard to the lady one, it was like, he was probably a bit busy at that point.
Yeah. The sequel's never as good.
That's
never.
True.
It is so true.
Except for Paddington.
Paddington.
Uh-huh. That's
definitely
it. That's
Paddington.
That's the only one.
It really is Paddington. Paddington is the only one. I love Paddington.
And where science.
I wish I could see it.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it. I wish I could. I only allow myself one film a year, and I haven't. It's on my list.
Oh, what's this year?
It's on my list. This year was the documentary Blackfish.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and actually it's been that one for the last few years, so I'm in a bit of a rut.
You like that one, huh? That's cool.
What is it about Blackfish that was so interesting to you for several years? Because, I mean, I've heard of that film. I've never had a desire to watch it, but what's going on in that?
A lot of people watch that Blackfish, the documentary, and they are upset about what SeaWorld is doing to the whales.
But
I watch that, and I'm sort of, and it's, I'm sure y'all are, I'm on the side of SeaWorld.
Yeah.
So I keep on rewatching it. I'm trying to get inside that. I can't quite figure out why. I finish Blackfish and I think, go SeaWorld, you know, contain the beasts. But everybody else, I just keep watching it to be like, am I missing something?
Okay.
You know?
I've done that.
So it's more, trying to figure it out. It's a puzzle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. If we didn't put whales in SeaWorld, how in the heck are we going to see them do tricks for treats? And I mean, it's the same as zoos. I mean, zoos are some of the most wholesome places on earth, where you take the kids and they get to see the lions and everything. My son, Day, he's always telling me like, well, what did these animals?
I love that name.
Oh, well, thank you day. So much. Oh, I wish he lived.
Do you have a night as well, or is it just the day?
I got my son day, and then I've got a bunch of daughters. And you know what?
I'm sorry.
I know that you've had a lot of pain in not bearing offspring, but whew, you're dodging a bullet on the teen years. I'll tell you that right now. And he tells me that these animals in the zoo are locked up as if they're prisoners. And I'm like, No,
they're not.
He said, Mom, they're quite literally locked up. What did they do to be locked up? And I said, they like it in the same way we like being under God's rules, mm-hmm. and God's cage, so to speak.
And
it's
God's
to protect
care
us
and, God's
and
safety.
Feed us. Yes.
You go outside a zoo, people are killing those animals.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're in danger out there.
That's right.
You think SeaWorld is dangerous. Have you ever been stranded in the middle of the ocean after a plane crash?
It sounds like you have.
Because I have.
Oh, really? My land.
I have.
Really?
Guess what?
What?
Twice.
Really?
What are the chances?
Twice.
What are
yeah,
the chances?
I'd say slim. Slim.
And was it on the same trip?
Yep. So we crashed into the ocean.
Okay.
Terrifying. And then the pilot, it was a private plane.
Okay.
One of my uncles. Actually, ooh. Funny. I have an uncle Nevis as well.
Oh, really?
It wasn't, that Nevis is not the pilot. Anyway, but I was just. Oh, cool. I was like, oh, coincidence, yeah, yeah. I wanted to mention. But then we're in the ocean, we're all scared, and then the pilot says, oh, wait, I've got it working again. So we take off.
Awesome.
We're thinking, this is great. You know, we're gonna get to our destination. Sure enough, starts sputtering, down we go again.
Oh, wow.
Not 50 yards past where we had.
What?
Classic, oh, classic.
What was the destination?
We were going to a football game. So we were going to a professional football game, NHL, okay. And wow, we were all cool. traveling there together.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I love football.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well,
wow.
I mean, probably when you're out there, you're going and looking around for a blackfish, and at least you're probably going, I at least understand it if it comes up to the plane or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was actually before I had started watching that documentary every year for a few years.
Speaking of chances, you know, you crashing twice in the ocean, and I wish you'd had Denzel Washington as your pilot, because he would have gotten you out of there in the same way he got that plane out of the Hudson River.
Oh, my God, Denzel.
Now, have you ever seen a Denzel Washington movie with your one movie a year rule?
I cannot wait to. That's why I got so excited, because down on my list, I have Paddington is next year, if I can resist the siren call of Blackfish. And then the following year is all the classic Denzels, or, you know, so we've got
Man on Fire,
of course.
You got Man on Fire.
Or is it Man on Wire?
Well, Man on Fire, it's because it's how you think of Denzel. He's right. The man's on
He's
fire.
He's really handsome. I like him a lot, but I don't
Glory.
Know. Is it Glory?
Remember the Titans.
Uh-huh. Remember the Titans.
Mm-hmm. I almost forgot.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't wait. I wish the years would pass by faster.
Can't think of any other ones he was in. I think he was
Did he play Lincoln? I never saw that.
Yeah, he was in Lincoln. He was in Made in Manhattan with J-Lo.
Oh, I love that one. I've seen that
one. I think he was in Dead Poets Society, and he might have been one of the.
And to think
was he in Oppenheimer?
Never...
He was in Oppenheimer
That's
and
right.
Barbie.
He was Oppenheimer
That's right. and Barbie this year.
Oh, yeah, he's yeah.
he's great.
He is a good actor. From what I can tell about what people say,
he disappears into a role.
But this year, I'm telling you, Reagan, you didn't miss anything with Barbie. You know, so if you're putting that on your list for future years, you didn't miss anything. And speaking of chances, I did just want to say that you mentioned science is dubious, but it's really hard to argue with math because it's just so concrete.
That's right.
And that is why I think it is proven that it is the female's fault of not getting pregnant, because guess what? It's just math. Because she's doing what? She's providing one egg.
Are you a scientist? I'm listening to you.
And that's,
talk,
you know,
thinking.
Well, maybe one and done. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But the male is smart enough to be offering millions of sperm. I mean, buckets of sperm.
Which is in Blackfish.
Reagan Dickland was played by the delightful Megan Strickland. Ooh, we love her. If you're in LA, check out her stand-up show, Funny Games, at the Elysian Theater, and follow her at Strictly Graham. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.